I'm recording now. Hey everybody, welcome to the First Date Snobbery Podcast. I'm John.
How you doing? It's Heather.
What song is this?
This is Team by Lord.
Is that one of the songs that I played?
It is indeed.
This is one of the good songs.
Yep.
Wow.
Sure is.
I've done something successful. So the whole point of this podcast is we travel in a time machine and we take a look at a past countdown. That's right. I turned the wrong one down. And we randomly select a podcast, or a podcast.
Select our podcast randomly.
We go ahead and we take a...
Here we go.
We take a random year and we look at the top 10 in the Billboard charts. Specifically like the Hot 100 or pop singles charts. And we give our review on those specific songs.
Uh-huh. We sure do.
But the first thing that we do on the podcast is we go ahead and take a look at some news that's of what's going on in the music industry now. We don't necessarily restrict it to pop music for that particular portion.
Nope.
So here we go.
Let's do it.
The first story that I have is a follow-up to a story on a previous podcast that we did about Paul McCartney being ill. He took ill to a virus, and evidently he is healthy and ready to get back on the road.
Woohoo! That's what I heard.
The virus hospitalized the Beatle and derailed shows in South Korea and Japan and delayed the start of a U.S. run. Paul McCartney, who is 72 years old, posted a video on YouTube letting his fans know that he's ready to roll on a new venture.
Yay.
Have you heard his new album yet?
I've heard songs off of it,
I think it's called?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
The couple tracks I've heard, which I can't think of their titles right now, were good, yes.
Okay.
Especially New, which was on the Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs 2 soundtrack. My kids really like it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, because I remember as soon as it played, Rianne was like, that's a Beatle. Or something along those lines.
You texted me when you guys were in the theater about it.
Next story. I know we did a lot of bashing on music shows, the contests, the reality contest shows, but American Idol will be returning to Fox for a 14th season.
14th season.
The judges Jennifer Lopez and Keith Urban decided that they would go ahead and re-sign, joining previously secured contracts for Harry Connick Jr. and Ryan Seacrest. While the long-running competition has seen varying panel changes throughout the years, this season will be markedly different in that instead of 50 plus hours over the season, it'll be pared down to 37, which leads many people in the industry to believe that the second results show is going to be cut from their schedule. You having fun there?
I'm having some technical difficulties here with the sound effects, so they're probably just going to randomly chime in as usual.
I know why. Hold on, let me fix the reason why.
Aw, thanks a lot.
Go right on ahead.
60 seconds later.
Go ahead. I'm sabotaging this particular podcast.
I say the less idol, the better. That's my opinion.
I don't like Keith Urban. I don't like an Australian playing country music. I think that's disingenuous.
Okay, I can see your point on that.
How much is the work product of an iconic song?
Are you asking me a question?
Kind of.
What?
It's more or less just kind of supposed to be out there, hypothetical.
Okay, we'll throw it on out there. Maybe our listeners have the answer.
The song How Does
It
Feel?
They can email us about it.
By Bob Dylan. How Does It Feel? Which is his iconic song, I believe. A manuscript sold for $2 million, which is double the former record, which was paid for the manuscript by John Lennon of a song called A Day in the Life.
He's looking at me because I like that song.
The manuscript is highlighted by several different little doodles that Mr. Dylan made and some unused lyrics. So they were lyrics of the song that he never really recorded.
Yeah.
The manuscript was provided to Sotheby's, which is a pretty big auction house.
I'm familiar.
By an unnamed seller who supposedly met Dylan in a non-rock context and bought it directly off of him.
Well, That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Easy. Don't have to deal with that middleman.
SoundCloud.
Out with the middleman.
Have you heard of SoundCloud?
I have.
It is the second largest music streaming service.
All about the cloud.
Next to YouTube. Its use is so prevalent, they're looking to provide some money to the artists that are recording for it.
I've heard.
The SoundCloud co-founder and chief of chief technology officer.
You know what? I just noticed it was launched in 2008.
Woo!
So it's been around a little while.
Yeah, a few years, relatively speaking.
Yep.
Chief technology officer Eric Walforce claims that the company is experimenting with several different ways
Wahlberg.
Of monetizing its services, not Wahlberg.
He's hanging tough right now.
Hanging tough. You know, the Wahlbergs have a reality show.
I was just informed about that yesterday.
Wahlburgers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of that, but I'm...
I think Donnie has been on it. I don't know that the King of the Funky Bunch has necessarily been on it. Old...
Yep.
Old Dirk Diggler. You've not seen that movie.
Then why are you referencing it?
Because many of the people that are listening might have seen it.
Except for...
Because you said, ew, it's about the porn industry, ew. And then took a shower because it made you feel dirty.
Maybe I was just lazy and never saw it.
Metallica is one of the few metal bands that has changed the musical landscape in terms of two different genres, both metal and kind of more or less the mainstream scene, because of Black Album. Black Album, rooted in metal, was a big, monstrous mainstream hit.
Indeed.
And they're successful at making money, kind of in the limelight of the mainstream and semi-metal.
Sure enough.
However, the band members are creeping up on 50 years of age, if not already there. And they're looking at their future. Kirk Hammett, who's the guitarist, the lead guitarist, has remarked that he's got ailments like tendonitis, and ligament atrophy. And that those
tennis elbow. Don't forget tennis elbow.
And those specific... ailments are taking their toll, and singer and rhythm guitarist James Hetfield has said that it's difficult for him to get his voice to act right on some nights.
So can you sum up the point of this article for me? They're getting old, we already knew that.
Well, drummer and perceived douchebag Lars Ulrich.
Not, there's no perception there.
Questions if they're going to be able to.
It's not alleged.
He questions that they're going to be able to continue for 10 to 20 years down the road.
I question it, too, due to lack of...
Well, they need to make some adjustments.
Never mind.
They need to make some adjustments because you can't stay a thrash metal band forever, I guess, if you're going to continue to be a musician.
Yep, they probably should have thought about that 10 years ago.
Another douchebag named Kanye West sees life in a complex way.
Okay, how? How so?
He remarked on his visions recently at the Cannes Lions Festival. He had a lot to say about Apple, remarking that Steve Jobs was his biggest influence. And he remarked that he hopes to, quote, raise the level of taste, unquote, for this generation. The tasteful artist, also known as Yeezus, also remarked that a deal between Samsung and Jay-Z led the path for the Apple Beats music deal. But he also remained contradictory in his statements, saying that he could only work with number one, which is why he works with Jay-Z. And Jay-Z working with Samsung, which led the deal for the Apple to the Apple Beats deal.
So basically this article is really showing the large amount of intelligence.
Well,
he says
Jay-Z is number one. That's why he works with Jay-Z. Jay-Z works with Samsung and then continued in his little diatribe to say that Samsung is inferior to Apple.
Well,
so Jay-Z's number one, but he works with an inferior product.
That's basically what I just said. Think about the statement I just made.
And he also, this man that wants to shape culture very much, basically said that the internet is an ugly place, but he's not into construction. So he wants to form the taste of society, but then took a giant shit on
celebrities.
But then he took a giant shit on society.
What are you going to do with them? Especially our dear friend there.
My last article of the news is about... this specific song that I'm playing.
Denver!
pay special attention to it. I should have played it at the beginning, because you could get a feel for what he's saying.
But I bet you will.
Anyway, this song has sold 4 million copies since its release. It's by Pitbull featuring Kesha. It's called Timber. But it sounds an awful lot like another song by a guy named Lee Oscar. And it's a song called San Francisco Bay.
Here we go. It was released in 1978, just to let you know.
Oh, damn it.
Don't you know?
Why don't I have it on here?
Oh. Let's see how they're similar.
I found it.
We're waiting.
I'm playing it. Doesn't sound similar yet.
It does, actually.
Well, but it's slowed down. Just wait.
Ooh, it's got some more funk in it.
That's right.
This is the Funky Bunch version.
Do you hear it now?
I heard it the whole time.
But specifically with the harmonica. A million people. And now it doesn't sound like it. But that little
San Francisco.
Mr. Oscar has decided he wants $3 million.
He just wants a piece of the pie.
For the infringement. Look, it's damn near identical. It's just sped up.
What do you think that Pitbull featuring Kesha should do?
Well, it's Pitbull's song. He allegedly wrote it. So he's responsible for it. It's just featuring Kesha. Kesha didn't write it.
Yeah. And
so Kesha really doesn't bear any responsibility towards the song. It's Pitbull. But here's the thing. In order, it's produced by a guy named...
If they're both part of the song, wouldn't they both be...
Not if they... No. It's whoever wrote it. Not necessarily who performed it. The performers do not necessarily own the product.
I never said they did.
Anyway, Dr. Luke is the producer of the song. Who the producer in this day and age is pretty much responsible for the entirety of the music in a song.
Okay.
This is how they're going to skirt around it. They did not sample it. They had a guy come in and re-record the parts.
They didn't sample from the original San Francisco.
They had somebody perform it for them.
Okay.
The guy's name is, I have it here somewhere. Oh, shit.
Well, you know what? The harmonica is the reason why I didn't like it for so long.
Hold on, let me pause. All right, we're back.
We are indeed.
We had a bit of a snafu.
Okay, we ready for number 10?
Yes, number 10. We're not re-recording over what we just did, so we know what song it is.
Okay.
We're so not professional, it's not funny, so we're amateurs. We say we're amateurs. There's no denying that we're amateurs.
Nobody ever has.
So what's your opinion on this song?
We're just going to go with that.
Danny California by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, number 10. This year in 2006.
In 2006. We actually would like to tell you that it's the week of June 24th, 2006.
Third week June. Fourth week June.
Okay.
Go for it.
This is what I have.
Yes.
When I made this, sometimes kind of when I listen to our countdown in its entirety, I kind of consider all 10 songs, just to let you know. This song, I think it was really a popular single for them. Because it was, in my opinion, kind of still true to their somewhat original sound, but somewhat updated for the 2000s, the listening audience of the 2000s.
Continue.
It's a very good album. It's off of Stadium Arcadium, which I actually have. I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm not going to say like I'm a fan of theirs. But they're like one of those bands that I've always liked. I don't listen to them like on a consistent basis. But like if I hear Under the Bridge or something out somewhere or on the radio, I'm not going to turn it off.
Well, that's Under the Bridge, but continue.
Well, yeah, I never
Please to continue.
I never said that the song was Under the Bridge. I gave it a happy face. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And considering all 10 songs on the countdown.
We differ in the song then.
That's fine.
This song sounds like another song to me. As a matter of fact, I believe it got in a lot of trouble because it did sound so much like this song.
I like this song better.
I like this song better.
This song is Mary Jane's Last Dance by Tom Petty.
Yes.
For those who are unaware. can't recall.
They got in trouble. They got in trouble. Well, maybe not in trouble necessarily, but there were several radio shows that pointed out how similar the two songs are.
So is it a minus or a hard minus?
I can also hear hints of auto-tune on Mr. Kiedis' voice. This song, I do not believe, is one of their iconic songs. I know it was a hit.
It's not an iconic song.
But it was not one of their iconic
songs. I like a lot of the other songs on the album that didn't get a lot of radio play.
I said it's okay. It's not great. It's just okay.
Meh.
I assume that it's about heroin like most Red Hot Chili Peppers songs are.
I don't know. Could be.
But I was excited to see at least one quote-unquote rock song on here. The production's good, but... And I don't like the auto-tune, and it's just not one of my songs. I gave it a meh. I didn't give it a minus. I gave it a meh.
Okay. Are we ready for number 9?
Hold on. Maybe.
Number 9 is Snap Yo Fingers by our good friend, Lil Jon.
It is, but I got to get into
I'm very familiar with him because I'm a Zumba instructor, and we do a lot of songs with him in it.
Yeah? Do you?
We do.
So what's your thoughts?
My thoughts on this song are I prefer Lil Jon much better when he's featured with another artist. When he says like 2 or 3 words and kind of just does his thing. Like there's so many other songs he's in, but where he just says, hey, yo, what, or something like that. Rather than just him by himself.
But it's not just him, this song. There's another guy in it.
That's true. There's another guy that comes in
you
second.
You know that Lil Jon produces a lot. Like, he does a lot of production, or did. I don't know if he still does.
I know he's kind of all over the music industry. I'm familiar with that. In my opinion, it just seems like a lot of the same song. It's basically like a 30-second loop. Even when the other guy comes in.
I don't like the other guy. I think the other guy sucks. I like Lil Jon, though. Continue.
I never said I didn't like him.
Please to be
we
continuing.
Have a little thing about him anyway.
Yeah!
We have a little thing about Lil Jon anyway.
Okay. What?
If John can see my notebook, it's
what?
On my very sophisticated rating scale, it's just a face with 2 eyeballs.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if this is a sad face or a meh. I can't even rate this song.
You don't like the song?
I don't know. I think I would have to give it a meh. Just because, like, I don't know. I think it's okay.
Okay. That's your opinion.
That's why I just gave it.
I find it funny that most of the southern rappers from, like, the Atlanta region sound like they're completely illiterate. They just do. They don't sound as smart as the guys from New York or L.A.
That's true.
This song was definitely a dance hit. I remember this being a huge dance hit. One of those songs that you would probably hear in the club if you were not like me and you actually went out to the club. I do like the song. I like it more than you do, I can tell. I like the beat, and it's got bass to it, and it's got almost a dark edge to the sound of it, and I'm all in on anything that sounds semi-dark. Or semi-heavy. This would be like, in my opinion, this would be almost heavy rap. Because it's pure rap without any of the R&B mess. I like the production.
Okay.
I remember the video. It was like an LSD trip. It was a crazy looking video.
Cool.
You don't care.
Of course I care.
You so don't care.
This song one number 8 is Me and You by Cassie.
Okay.
I've heard Cassie do some other stuff.
This is a bland
and
podcast
to me,
so far.
Why is it bland?
Just is.
Just is. Feels it is off. What it is.
Feels off.
Okay.
Sorry, it just does.
Can I continue?
Feels off.
Can I continue with my commentary?
You can.
Indeed?
Yes.
It's very repetitive. It's basically like
you don't like
the same 3 to 4 notes over and over again.
We are not in sync on this podcast. Continue.
Okay. Compared to some of the other songs I've heard from her, it's just this not a whole lot of pizzazz. I like her voice.
This is the only song I remember of hers. I don't remember her having
any other
songs.
She does a lot of songs where she's featured. I gave it a meh.
I like this song. I like her voice. This one is another one that has like an edge to it because of the bass and the production.
So basically, I see a trend that any song that has any kind of bass to it, you're going to give it.
I said that she's like Sierra, but she's more talented. And it seems like she disappeared off of the face of the earth.
She and Sierra are very similar.
She does have apparently she's got a new album coming out that's going to have some production by Pharrell on it.
Okay.
I did a little bit of research. I just like the whole song. And it's a shame that she disappeared off the face of the earth. I've not heard anything else by her or even anything else with her featured in it. I gave this song a hard plus because I really like this song.
Okay.
Yep.
Hard plus it is.
That's hard to believe, but I did indeed because I actually like that song. What's number 7?
Number 7 is Unfaithful by Rihanna.
Yeah.
I gave this song a happy face, and that's all I would like to say.
Why?
You have
no reasons? You like the song. You don't want to explain your position on it.
Nope.
This is going to be a rough podcast.
Why?
Because we are only 22-ish minutes in on the podcast, and you are refusing to comment on songs.
I'm not refusing to comment. This is all I have on them.
This song is a very painful song for me to listen to for personal reasons. It involves my ex-wife, who would be the Rihanna of the song, and I would be the dude that she was singing about. The song does what it's supposed to do, and that's kick a guy like me in the balls from bringing up bad memories. The vocals are solid. The production is solid. It's a good song. I don't want to like it, but I have to give this song another hard plus because it is a good song. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. It's damn near perfect in accomplishing its mission. I don't like the song. It's a song that I could live with never listening to again because it hits me in a bad place. It makes my balls go numb. Just saying.
I agree. I think it's a very good song.
Song number 6. Away from their father. This is not where it's supposed to be. Goddamn long intro.
It's okay.
This is where it's supposed to be.
This is called Where's You Go?
Where'd You Go?
Where'd You Go? Did I write it down wrong?
Typo okay. In the file name.
It says Fort Minor.
Yes, Fort Minor. We'll let it play a little bit.
I think we should. This song caught me off guard more than any of the other songs on this countdown because it's written for a very specific audience.
Which would be?
It is written by military. This is what I believe. I didn't do any research. It's written by the family members of people that are in the military. And how they felt when they were on their deployment.
It's written by them?
I thought it, well, the I liked the
are you saying that the concept?
I liked the testimony that is in the beginning and throughout the song, which the testimony, for sure, once I, like I said, I didn't do any research on this.
Oh, okay.
But I listened to it twice, and the testimony is from the families of people that are in the military.
Yes.
And I think this song is very, very interesting. I think it's the most interesting song on the entire countdown because, to me, it accurately expresses the frustration that they have of missing someone that they love so much that they can't be with.
Okay. Well, the what you heard was the video, the audio from the music video of the song.
Yeah.
The rapper is Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park.
Okay.
So that's who wrote the song. If you listen to the lyrics are more vague in that they come from anybody being outside of the immediate home picture.
Okay.
I feel like Shinoda wrote the lyrics probably from his perspective of being in a band, being on the road all the time.
Okay.
But it just so happened to be vague enough that you could apply it in a military context, which is what the video does. The video does that because the testimonies that you heard is indeed from
military
people.
So I took the testimonies and applied it, and I made the lyrics that can be somewhat vague, more specific based on the testimonies, what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a sad song in the fact that they might as well just have sampled Connie Francis. This is our Connie Francis song in this countdown, in my
That's
opinion.
That's true.
It's got mad production. The lyrics feel almost forced at points. I don't like this song. It's not my thing.
Not for you?
I gave it a meh. I gave it a meh because I think Shinoda is the better vocalist of the two in Linkin Park.
I do too. Can you agree? But can you agree that it's an interesting concept, what they did, at least with the video?
The video is an interesting concept.
Okay.
The actual song itself is not that interesting.
Did you give it a minus?
I give it a meh. I'm not going to give it a minus because it's not a terrible song.
Okay.
It's just not my thing. I can live without it. You ready for the next song?
I guess so.
If I can play it.
Okay, the next song, I don't know anybody who doesn't know this song. It's Bad Day by Daniel. Is it Powter or how do you say Powder?
It's pronounced Powder.
It's pronounced powder.
Like
okay.
What I put on my balls on a humid day.
Okay. And some people put on babies' bottoms. That
or,
stuff. Cornstarch. Okay. All right. This song, I think, gained so much popularity for a couple reasons. If you can
so,
hear me.
So you think you can dance? Or no, was it... It was American Idol is what it was on.
It might have been. I can't remember.
It was on one of those two Fox competition shows.
Well, and it was played, just played and played and played.
I'm sorry for this podcast, folks. I have been really shitty with the getting the music to do the right thing. So I apologize in advance.
Well, maybe we'll get better as we mosey on through our podcast.
Go.
Uh-huh. As we mosey.
Mosey.
Mm-hmm.
Like this song did. Continue!
I think that this is popular because pretty much everybody on Earth has had some kind of bad day. And the chorus is catchy. It's something everybody can sing. It also was number one for the year 2006, I would like to let you know, because I checked the Billboard Top 100 for 2006.
I'm sorry that you thought it was backwards. That's partially my fault, because the way that I save everything, I save it ass backwards.
Yeah, I did it backwards, but you know, the commentary is still the same,
okay.
So we can make it work.
I have to do it so that the thing that we play the music through does it correctly.
Okay. You deal with the technology. So.
I number the files in one way, the names and the track number a separate way. So it's almost like ass backwards. But I do it so that this plays it the correct way. Sorry for the inside football, folks.
I gave it a meh because it's like I don't think I can give it a happy face. I don't think I can give it a sad face either. I wasn't quite sure how to rate it because I'm just so tired of the song. I'm trying to be fair to it, but I'm just done with the song.
I've never liked this song ever, 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 ever. I've never liked this song. And I have to say one thing to Daniel Powter: fuck you for trivializing my bad day. My bad day is a bad friggin' day, and I don't need somebody trying to cheer me up by singing a goofy little ditty about how bad their day was. You can go fuck right off. I should write a rebuttal song called I Need a Beer. That should be the real song. I mean, I guess he's trying to make the listener feel better. I just want to punch him in the face and knock out his teeth.
Turned down?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I have you turned right up.
Okay.
So, there goes that idea. This song stinks.
That I would like to let you guys know that's 100% John right there, what he just did.
This song stinks. It's the worst.
But you know what?
You know what this song is? It's garbage.
But you know what, John? To piggyback off of what you said, mm-hmm. I think what you said has some meaning to it. I don't really think that having a bad day, I don't really think
it's spineless wuss rock.
I don't think a ditty really
terrible.
Is appropriate for it.
No. When I have a bad day, I don't need some guy condescending, you know, just kind of breathing down my neck like, oh, you had a bad day. Like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. My day was rough.
Back it on up, brother.
I'm going to the bar. I'm going to have 3 beers.
I don't want any. We don't
get off me.
We don't need sunshine and rainbows.
No. When you have a bad day, when I have a bad day, I don't want some douchebag singing about my shitty day.
I know.
Fuck him.
I'm well aware of it.
He's terrible.
Good thing we're explicit.
Try again with your sound effects.
Try again.
Pick a different one. It works. Operator error.
Must have been.
All right, so what's next? Number 4, right?
Number 4 is Riding from Chamillionaire and...
Chamillionaire?
Crazy Bone?
It's Chamillionaire.
Chamillionaire? I don't know.
Chamillionaire.
Well, good thing you're here.
Right? Rolling. This became an awesome meme. Because they would show like handicapped kids in wheelchairs. But they see me. They would put the chorus in there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, you'd have to be there.
Yeah, with all the memes, I'm sure.
I'm a meme fanatic. I'm sorry.
I'm going to let you go. Go ahead. You go first. You go first on this one.
What do you mean me go first?
Since we basically haven't agreed on one song.
When I hear this
song. No, I guess we technically agreed on one.
When I hear this song, it reminds me of one thing. Would you like to know what that one thing is? I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40, I'll just have an Earl Grey tea. Weird Al Yankovic. On the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are scary. Stephen Hawking's
in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got me. He did that for me, I think.
That's the song. No, I don't. This song is, really, the first thing I thought of when I heard this song. I was like, oh shit, this is Weird Al's White and Nerdy. So, yeah, there's that. The production's weak. I feel like it was trying to sound... I feel like it was trying to sound too tough. And it's just... It kind of comes off... Kind of comes off fake. Well, I am sucking with everything on this podcast. I'm the worst. Crazy Bone is from Bone Thugs and Harmony. I like some rap, but this just feels cheesy to me. It just does. Chamillionaire's flow is not horrible. He's a better rapper technically than like Lil Jon, but Lil Jon's production is 1,000 times better than the shit that they were serving on this song. I'm out on this song. I gave it a minus.
I gave it a sad face also.
You mean you don't like Chamillionaire?
He's not my bag.
Not your bag, baby?
Nope.
Okay, so what's next?
Next is It's Going Down. How do I say?
Young Jock.
Young Jock.
This is like the rise of Southern rap. This countdown. Okay, so what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know if I just don't like these artists or what's going on here. I do. I don't know. I just...
Well, like I said,
guess
this
has a good, it has
I don't
a
think,
good beat to it.
You don't like Southern rap, I don't think. I think that's where you kind of fall off.
No, I do like some.
Southern rap, though. Specifically that ATL sound. Like the... Some. What's it called? The...
I think I don't like these
that's
songs.
That's the dude with all the gold fixtures. Master P. Like, that's his style of rap. And it's kind of garbage rap in a way, but the guys that are really good, like, what's his name? Lil Wayne. He's like a Southern style rapper. He's terrible, though. Some of these guys are good. This is not a good song, in my opinion.
I gave it a sad face.
I didn't even recognize the song when I was listening to it.
Yeah. It's just, it's too, I don't know. It's very repetitive.
At the beginning, I thought I heard Lil Jon. In the very beginning, I thought there was a little squelch of a voice. I was like, holy shit, is this a Lil Jon song? And I was like, he's not in the rest of the song, so it can't be him. When I first heard it, I didn't recognize it, but it definitely sounds like it's more legit and harder than the last song, than the Chamillionaire song. And I said, dat bass.
Sure does have that bass.
Again, the vocalist sounds totally illiterate. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's just a observation. I've heard the chorus elsewhere. I don't know where, but I've heard it in like movies or something.
Yeah, I think it's familiar to me too.
I'm not particularly enthralled with this song, but it's not bad enough for a minus in my opinion. I give it a meh.
I gave it a sad face, but in some ways I may have been able to go back and give it a meh also. Are you ready for the, I guess, number two?
I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it?
John and I know this song from So You Can Dance. No, not So You Can Dance. Whatever.
Just Dance.
It's Promiscuous.
I knew this song before
Nelly,
that, though.
Furtado, featuring Timbaland.
Yes, let's not confuse her with the Band-Aid rapper Nelly.
I like this song. I like this song a lot.
Timbaland.
That's why.
I like it a lot. It's it's a little suggestive. I like the good dancing vibe that it gives out. The title is suggestive.
It's called Promiscuous.
The title is suggestive.
Which is suggestive as it is.
That's what I just said.
It's about a hoe.
I like the playful nature that it has, and I just like the song overall. It has a happy face.
I was on the Nelly Furtado bandwagon before she did this album. This album was her breakthrough album. It was her mainstream album. Her previous albums were... She had had two albums before this one, and they had a much more adult contemporary type feel to them. The song Like a Bird was Nelly Furtado. I'm like a bird, I'll only fly away. I don't know.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah. Okay. So I was 10 steps ahead of the curve when it comes to Nelly Furtado, because I actually own that album, and it's actually a really good album. It's not this, but it's still good for what it is. She's talented. She started off in a girl group, if I'm not mistaken, and she broke away from said girl group, did her first couple of solo albums, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to make some money off of this shit. I feel like this was the era of people who were... used to doing one layer of music, decided to branch out and go elsewhere. I think this is where
you
see
where you're getting that feel
Gwen
from.
Gwen Stefani go towards a more, like, from No Doubt to the more rappy thing.
Hear what you're saying.
Jewel even did an album that was kind of, and what's her face? Liz Phair, who was an indie, like a indie darling, and then then did a mainstream album, and her career fell apart after that. But this was one of her... This is one of Nelly Furtado's big mainstream songs. She's talented, and it shines in this song, in my opinion. It's not all Timbaland, excuse me, because there's no R in the middle of his song.
There's an A.
The lyrics are suggestive, but they're not vulgar.
Agreed.
That's pop music, where you can be suggestive and be sensual, but not... be like totally beating people over the head with it, if that makes sense. It's catchy as hell. I feel like Timbaland was the Pharrell and Dr. Dre of his time, and that's a kind of present reference.
I think that's a good reference to make.
I like Timbaland's stuff for the most part. I mean, Timbaland was kind of...
Me too.
...more or less the genius behind Missy Elliott, and was also the genius behind Aaliyah in her later career. That one album of hers that's her with the kind of the red background, that was pretty much all Timbaland produced. And it's all good. There's nothing, like, it's not spectacular, but it was her, like, her next album would have been huge if she would have been able to record
it. I believe
one.
It would have. I agree.
All right, so I gave that song a plus because I liked it.
We agree on a song.
How about that shit?
Okay, we actually agreed on two. This is number one, no surprise. It's Hips Don't Lie with Shakira featuring Wyclef Jean. This is pretty much Shakira's breakout hit, wasn't it?
I think she had something before this, But you might be right that this was kind of more or less
this
her
big. This is what really made her gave her like worldwide fame, don't you
yes,
think?
Yes. I guess I would say that, yeah.
It's a very catchy song, and I can definitely see the appeal and why it's number one. I personally, when I first heard the song, Shakira has a very unique voice, and I kind of find it irritating. Like some of her newer stuff.
Oh, we've got another one that we're going to agree on. Yay.
But this one is just not my cup of tea. Would you like to share your commentary?
I said that this song is going to be looked at and laughed at in 20 years. Shakira, she's a gorgeous woman, but I hate her voice. She's got a nasal voice that sounds like a goose honking. In my opinion, that's what she sounds like, a goose. I'm not fond of Wyclef either. I don't mind the Fugees so much. The Fugees was kind of a formula where you had these three people. You had Lauryn Hill, Wyclef, and the other guy, and they all put out great stuff together. And apart, Lauryn Hill's first album showed promise, but then she kind of became a train wreck. Wyclef's stuff, I've never liked. I've never liked any of his solo stuff. I feel like Shakira jumped in Selena's spot because Selena died.
I never looked at it that way, but I guess you could say
Selena
that.
Selena was supposed to, like, she was starting to record English stuff.
She was.
And she was supposed to be essentially the Mexican Madonna, is specifically something I'd heard. That she was like Mexico's equivalent to Madonna at the time.
Okay.
And I feel like Shakira kind of saw that spot was open, so she jumped right in it. And she's very pretty.
Yeah,
her voice is super annoying.
You said that already.
She's got recording artist looks, but not recording artist voice.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her voice.
Well, she must have the right combination because she's still pretty popular now.
Ugh, I don't know how.
She is.
I don't like anything hers. I don't. Her voice is too much to take.
Keep that in mind.
Too much to take.
I don't have a huge catalog of hers.
She did have one song before this. I can't remember what it was, but there was a song before this that was a big hit.
It was big, but this is what I believe to put her, like I said, worldwide, like, famous.
Yes, this was the song that made her kind of international and not just kind of...
Yes.
Continental.
Exactly.
Bicontinental.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a countdown.
It is, indeed.
It is. So what's next? Next is the challenge accepted.
Is challenge accepted next?
It is. Do you have your Artist of the Week stuff ready? Do you have songs on your device?
I have one. I only need one.
Oh, shit. Throwing down.
I'm throwing another monkey wrench at you.
Monkey wrench. Oh, is that a hint?
No, it's not.
Is that a Foo Fighters hint?
No, it's not.
Because we haven't brought up Dave Grohl at all.
Nope.
This entire podcast. Maybe that's why the podcast is off. Because we did not bring
lack
up the
lack of
Foo
Dave
Fighters.
Grohl. That's what it's been this entire time.
We're not even 45 minutes in. This is shortest podcast ever. So we don't get to torture our audience as long as usual.
Well, you know what? 60 minutes is still a solid podcast.
So the challenge that was thrown at me, the gauntlet that was...
To let you know, I have your next two.
Well, you gave me one of them, and I've already listened to it, but...
No, I have two after that.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm.
I was challenged to listen to Miranda Lambert's album, Platinum. I will have you know that this album is, according to the latest issue of Rolling Stone, the number one album in the country.
Well, maybe that's why I picked it for you to be challenged with.
So I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this like I did the last one. I'm going to do what I expected versus what I got. I expected to hate this album because what I expected was a pure country pop crossover mess, kind of that Keith Urban, an artist that's on this is, Carrie Underwood. I expected Carrie Underwood, essentially.
Okay.
Where it's kind of got that pop crossover feel. I expected garbage. I almost wanted to hate this album by listening to it. What I got was a complete surprise because it was not the worst album I'd ever heard. It was not the worst thing I could ever listen to. What I got was an authentic country album, which is not at all what I expected. I did not expect out of this album country. I expected out of this album, I'm a little bit folksy, but everybody can love me. Does that make sense?
It does. So I'm doing a good job.
So there's only one song on this album I did not like, and it's the song that gave me what I expected, which is the Carrie Underwood song, which is evidently a single that's being released off the album, which in my opinion is a huge misstep on the record company's part. I can understand why they would do it, because it seems almost like that song is forced onto the album. But some of the songs that I did like, I liked this song, which is called Priscilla. I got it right to a good part of the song, which is the chorus. Because you can see the parallels that she's walking, because she's married to Blake Shelton, if I'm not mistaken.
She is.
And there's a huge hoopla about their relationship in the tabloids, about him banging around behind her back. This song is essentially about that, kind of correlating Priscilla and Elvis's relationship with her relationship with Blake Shelton. She did not write this song. I looked into specific, because I was like, she's country, and I know that Nashville likes to force these artists to kind of get into these like little powwows with other writers and kind of write the songs for them and hammer it out. I will say that honestly, in my opinion, the majority of the songs that she had a hand in writing are the best songs on the album. But the songs that I picked are not necessarily the songs that she wrote. The whole album is pretty strong, which I hate saying, like, because I don't like country. But this album is a strong album.
He said, I thought we agreed that we weren't going to do country. And I said, I don't remember that being part of Challenge Accepted. Therefore, that's why I gave him that album.
The next song that I picked is a song that more or less reflects what I think is more her philosophy. It's a song called Old Shit. And in my opinion, someone in country saying shit in a song is beyond risky. Because you never hear that kind of swearing in country music. This is shit like 5 or 6 times. It's in the chorus. And it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, and it's funny, in a way, where she's basically talking about being a hillbilly. That's what the song is. It's like, hey, I'm a hillbilly, and I love it. I liked
intriguing. That
aspect of her, her kind of essence. I know that she was a reality star contestant. She was on, like, Nashville's Next Star or some shit on CMT. She got, like, third on the competition. And she evidently has done better than everybody else that was on that show. Number one selling album.
Well, good to know that she's made something of herself.
This is a song that I also liked. It's called Hard Staying Sober. This is a song out of the 3 songs. I wanted to pick one that she co-wrote. This is one of the songs she co-wrote. It's very country. You can hear from all the slide guitar and whatnot. Like I said, I was not expecting a straight up country album. You'll notice that I did not keynote the song that she did with Carrie Underwood, because that song is garbage in my opinion. It's one of the worst songs on the album because it's so mainstream. I did not like that song. That's the only song on the album that I was like, this is terrible.
Okay.
So out of 10, which is how I grade my challenge accepted challenges, I give this album a solid 7. I almost went 8, but I figured 8 would be too high praise.
Wow.
Solid 7. Solid 7. Not the worst album I'd ever heard. So, I can't. I'm sorry. We're going to have to pause while you do what you need to do.
1 second. Yep.
So, that's the end of that segment.
Awesome. Interesting to get your feedback.
Right? That was not a seamless transition.
Your feedback was not exactly what I thought I would get off of that album.
This is the first time in any podcast that we've had 3 separate section's going according to that program.
Okay, so if we mess up, then why are you telling our listeners that we mess up three times?
Because they know we messed up. Because I said, oh, let's pause, duh. All right, continue. Next segment is the Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week of for 2006. I'm actually very excited about this.
Foo Fighters, here we go.
You are going to be blown out of the water. I surprise you every time, and I plan to continue to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jackson!
For 2006.
Well, that Invincible bullshit album that
Escape?
Sold half. No, Invincible was the album that the last album he was alive to record.
Okay.
Come on now. I know my MJ shit. I know the
I
guy.
I know
was a
you know your MJ. Come on.
But I liked MJ at one point. I kept Escape on my device so that I could eventually listen to it.
Well, good for you. I think you should. Give it a listen.
Come on.
The 2006 artist that I chose, according to About.com, they put him on the top 50 greatest MCs of our time.
MCs, that means it's a rapper. Ladies and gentlemen, Pitbull!
This person has received 11 Grammy nominations for his work in music.
Oh.
And he, I don't want to say the last part until I play it for you. He received his nickname from Chuck D of Public Enemy.
Joe Bob Curtis Clyde.
Now, I have a special request from us both.
Oh, boy.
That while I do his, whatever I decide to do, 28, 29 seconds, that he's very, 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 very good at his craft. I respect this artist a lot.
Dr. Dre.
That we just let him do his thing until I stop it.
Hammer.
Okay, are you ready? I hope I have the volume there.
Play it and I'll turn it up.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, fuck you. That's Busta Rhymes. Okay, here we go again. You see the way I'm blowing in. I'm like a mangler. The way that I be mangling the beat, they call me Dracula. Then they see the thing going in. Wow. Everybody know that I'm a come and I'm a go. Ooh. Then I gotta do what I be coming in and do a body to beat. They let the baby giving them a show.
Awesome at his craft.
Awesome does not even begin to describe Busta Rhymes. He's beyond awesome. He is probably, in my opinion, the greatest rapper of all time. Of all time. And I don't just say that because he used Iron Man in one of his songs. It's because that man has taken flow to a whole different level.
Well, as it says here in my notes, he's best known for his unique rapping technique.
Which is, I don't breathe, fuckers.
With a fast rate going between internal rhyme and half rhyme.
Like I said, he doesn't.
I heard this song. I tried to get this song for 2 weeks, just to let you know. It is actually, the entire song is greatness. It is actually...
What's the name of the album?
It's Travis Barker.
From, yeah.
It's got Yellow Wolf, Twista, and Busta Rhymes on it. It's a great song.
Travis Barker is the guy from the shitty punk band.
Everybody's on it. Everybody that's on it represents themselves equally. Like, Busta, obviously, he's Busta Rhymes. Who's going to compete with him? But everybody else on there, this song is greatness. It's called Let's Go. I love it. And I was trying to find... I spent a long time trying to find this, like, 20-second snippet for you people. I was listening to his solo stuff, and then I was listening to stuff where he's with other artists. And I heard this song, and I said, this is the song I'm going to pick because it's just... It represents his pure greatness. And I went and I was looking at the artist for 2006. And as I tell you people, one of the first things I do is I go on the top 100 countdown for 2006. And I looked on there and I said, oh, there's my boy. He's in the top 20. So I said, okay, I'm going to pick Busta Rhymes because I'm trying not to pick like the same genre music or the same type. I'm trying to like mix it up where it's not like pop all the time or like whatever. All the time.
Well, pop is a wide, it's kind of a wide swath.
I'm trying not to pick the same type all the time.
Pop
is
whatever is popular at the time.
So, yeah.
So, this could be considered pop because I think I remember that specific song.
You may have.
I think I do.
This song is a new
this
song.
This is when rap was still good stuff.
But anyway.
Rap doesn't sell like it used to.
I didn't remember ever doing a rap artist. And since this countdown was so heavily influenced by it, that's why I decided to go with Busta Rhymes.
We're not even an hour in.
Yet another monkey wrench. Where we at?
We're at like 55 minutes.
55 minutes? We can do 5 more minutes.
On what?
We can do 5 more minutes just talking about Busta Rhymes.
Bus a bus. I wish I had some. Now that I think about it, I used to have an album of his if I'm not mistaken.
So, who else?
Says the teetotaler of the show.
Who else do you think can compete with Busta Rhymes and his greatness?
In terms of flow or like
how
are we talking?
In terms of just being an MC.
I don't know. That's kind of tough because Bus a Bus is otherworldly in my opinion.
So did I surprise you with that?
You did surprise me with that. Because I wouldn't have picked Busta Rhymes for 2006. He had some hits in previous years, and I would have picked him for whatever years those were, like late 90s. He had some hits.
Well, he's already been featured on our countdown with Jan Jones.
So,
one of our previous countdowns.
I don't think anybody can really touch him, especially considering his technique. I mean, he just, like I said, he's otherworldly because it seems like he never breathes because it's so fast and it's just, there's no breaks in his, he can go for like 5 minutes. He could go for an entire length of a song.
I know.
With no break, no chorus, no nothing, just him flowing. So nobody can touch him.
There's a reason why, I mean, you hear him, there's 100%, you're 100% sure it's him. Every single time. You know it's him. You can't confuse him with another artist, like, ever.
No, that's a fact. You can't, like, when you hear a Busta Rhymes song, you know it's Busta Rhymes, and you know you're in for something.
You're in for something great.
And the only time that I've ever compared anybody to Busta Rhymes, there was a song called Rap God on the new Eminem album.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Eminem basically mimics Busta Rhymes.
It's a very impressive song.
He doesn't sound identical in terms of his vocal quality. But his flow is spot on, dead on. Like, it's like, look, I'm going to pay homage to Busta Rhymes with this song.
Yeah. Whenever I hear him, but when I heard this song, it reminded me of Rap God, actually. Because, to me, he's like the Rap God. But I don't want to talk about Eminem because I could possibly use him later. But that's a great song. That album's a good album, too, although I do not have the entire album.
I don't believe I've listened to the entire thing all the way through.
John has it, but I do not have it.
I thought I...
No, I asked you to, but you never did. So,
sorry.
When you get the opportunity, if you could let me have the whole album, I would appreciate it.
Yes'm.
Please?
Yes'm.
Police.
Police.
Nobody else.
Stinging the police.
You're not gonna. You can't come up with anybody else.
Not really.
Compared to Busta Busta?
See, I don't listen to enough rap to put anybody next to Busta Rhymes.
But you know, you listen to a lot of old school stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, even those guys are pioneers. They're not perfectors. They're the guys that kick-started it, and guys like Busta Rhymes were the next generation, said, you know what, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take it to a point where nobody else has taken it. That's what Busta Rhymes did.
Mm-hmm.
He took flow, specifically the flow of the lyrics, and nobody can touch him. Nobody in the game can touch him. Nobody. I don't think there's... Like, you got guys like 50 Cent, who... 50 Cent was shot 8 or 9 times, whatever. So he's legit. He's street legit. That's his thing. He's that. Eminem is white boy, but he's white boy who's as good as the blacks, so that's him.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, and so on and so on. I mean, you got guys that fulfill specific niches.
Yeah.
Busta Rhymes' niche is, I go faster than anybody else without taking any breaks. Y'all can't touch me in that department. That's where he fits. And Busta Rhymes is just greatness. I mean, he's a guy that I've... There was something I heard on, like, Behind the Music or something. Some kind of documentary thing about Busta Rhymes, where a guy said, basically, that Busta Rhymes is 5 miles ahead of everybody else. So, his music might not necessarily identify with the time, but it will in 5 years. And I was like, dead on. Because Busta Rhymes stays ahead of the curve. That may not benefit him necessarily. There's going to get to a point where that's kind of diminishing returns. And I think he's kind of reached that point because there's not really been a big Busta Rhymes song. But in 5 years, you'll be able to say, holy shit, he was doing that 5 years ago.
I'm telling you, this whole song is greatness. Everybody on it with him. And Busta Rhymes is just... It's like I said, I have immense respect for him. Like, when he raps, I listen. I almost literally stop what I'm doing. It's like, I don't know if I'm, like, combing my hair, dancing, driving my car, whatever. I stop what I'm doing because I want to hear what he's saying. Even though I can't understand what he's saying, you know, that's how awesome he is. I don't really think there's anybody out there that can really compare with him.
I agree. I don't think there is anybody else out there that can compare to Busta Rhymes.
So, not to toot my own horn, but I did a good job with assigning you the Miranda Lambert album, and I did a good job on the Artist of the Week.
Yes, you did a quality job.
A quality.
Quality job.
Quality.
Yes, so...
So, applause for me.
So, in the way of personal news for us, we are now available on... You don't have it plugged in.
Go ahead.
In personal news for us, we are now available on both iTunes. So yay for me for being able to figure that shit out.
There, that's where you can give yourself a pat on the back.
Yes. And then we are also available on Stitcher Radio.
Yes. I was excited about that when I saw myself tagged in it.
In terms of podcasts, Stitcher is a pretty decent thing to be on because that kind of spreads our audience.
Yes, I know.
So we're on our way.
We're on our way, baby.
And I believe that by the time all is said and over with this particular podcast, we will be over 200 downloads. So thank you guys very much for listening.
Wow, we appreciate it.
I put a big long thing on Facebook, on my personal Facebook. We need to start up a podcast Facebook, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think that might not be a terrible idea. That way people that don't necessarily...
Here it comes!
People that don't necessarily publicize it on their individual Facebook can at least tell their friends that they should go to the podcast mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. Even though they could control the Twitter associated with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Just saying. Just want to make those remarks and lay them out there. Lay them out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
So, yes, we have those different outlets for us. So, thank you to Stitcher Radio, who also sent out a tweet with our specific podcast linked to it.
Wow.
So, Stitcher is trying to get us some help. iTunes doesn't give a fuck about us.
But at least we're on there.
But we're
on there.
At
least you have access to us now.
And if you want to find us on iTunes, if you're downloading this through our website, which is www.firststatesnobbery.wordpress.com. You can also find us on iTunes by putting in First State Snobbery, all one word. For some reason, it doesn't come in. It doesn't come up if you do it in three separate words.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to do a little bit of research on how to fix that issue.
Yeah.
But I believe if you go to Stitcher and you just search us by First State Snobbery, probably three words, I think it'll come up on Stitcher.
Well, we'll have to research that for you.
Or you can just go to our individual blog, which is the WordPress address,
mm-hmm.
and you can find us that way, too.
So we're becoming even more easily available for you people to listen to.
We are branching out as best we can. I am hoping to get at least 20 listeners, 20 regular subscribers.
That's been his goal this entire time. 20
regulars.
Be a regular for us.
We are up to 15.
Be regular.
We're up to 15 subscribers at this juncture.
Okay. That's good news.
Thank you to all of our subscribers who are regular listeners.
We appreciate it.
We will be faithful to you if you're faithful to us.
Aww.
Please send us an email at firststatesnobbery@gmail.com. Give us feedback. Give us anything. Give us a cheap, shitty shill email. We'll read it on the air, I promise. Follow us on Twitter at DESnobbery. And tweet us.
and tweet us.
Tweet us. Twat us.
Don't do that.
And I'll read that on the air. Give us feedback on iTunes. I'll read that on the air. If you can leave feedback on Stitcher, I'll figure out how to look into that, and I'll read that on the air. That'll fill up these less than hour-long podcasts where we're basically dragging it out as long as possible.
You know what's really funny about this podcast right now? Is that we were complaining. Well, we were bitching, folks, about the 60s. And then we finally get an updated update podcast. Well, it is updated. An updated countdown where it's 2006. And it's it would have as much to say about it.
We have stuff to say, but somebody is not.
Oh, my gosh. It's always my fault.
Not as prepared as someone else to draw length to the podcast. I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner necessarily.
Really?
Teetotaler.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Really?
Someone's on the wagon, someone's off.
What is that supposed to mean? Why don't you clarify?
On and off the wagon is a pretty specific reference. Someone follows the 12 steps and someone doesn't.
What is that supposed to mean?
You don't know because you've never been to a 12 step.
Dun dun dun. Maybe I have.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, you know, serenity prayer and all that. Are you ready? Because I'm done.
Are we finished?
We are finished. I got to find my song again, though. I had a song and it's gone. Oh, yeah. We have to do the pick for next week.
Okay. Let's see what we're going to be doing next week.
Randomizer activated. And it's 1982.
Sweet.
Which is not 60s, folks. Again, not 60s.
Woohoo! A different decade.
We don't have 60s for a while.
Well, that's cool.
I think till like September.
Well, that's good. We need a break from those 60s anyway.
Yeah, thank God. So, next week, 1982. Also, your challenge is the Iggy Azalea album called, what is it, The Brand New, I think it's what it's called. So, you have to listen to that album.
Sounds good.
So, thank you guys very much for listening again. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, email firststatesnobbery@gmail.com or Twitter @DESnobbery. Please follow us, give us feedback, do something. Give us something else to do on the air while we're struggling like
this. Oh my
gosh.
If we made 60 minutes, we're good.
Well, I think we actually made over 60 minutes now.
Woohoo, even better. Thanks so much, folks.
Yes, folks, while I look for the next song.
You're great with technology today.
I'm the worst.
I wonder if it's going to be metal.
I even had a
or
song.
Or country.
I had a song picked out. I just suck so bad at this. That I have to make filler commentary.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
it. Thank you, guys. I'm leaving you with Curse of the Pharaohs by Merciful Fate. Thanks a lot.